Ignition sequence start.
See, Elijah Wan has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three, hit it!
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer.
Yes! Paul touch it up!
Thompson steps right, shoots for the win, a three, he got it!
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook.
James Harden.
I know what's at stake.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
First, Bielitsa, and now Bogdanovich. Or as I'm unaffectionately calling them, the Killer Bees. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can find me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. You can also find our show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And hey, if you enjoy what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a favor, follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast. If you could please subscribe, maybe drop a review in there. I do read them. I appreciate every single one that you take the time to write. Maybe drop some stars too. That'd be awesome. I would sincerely appreciate it. The Rockets lose in heartbreaking fashion for not the first time this season, for the second time this season, off of a last second three-point shot by another Slavic player too. So the Slavs have it out for the Houston Rockets, apparently. Like, this is first Bielitsa, now Bogdanovich. What did we do to them? This shouldn't have been the story. It really shouldn't have been. I'm gonna read through the official play-by-play of the final 3 minutes of this game in the next segment, because the final 3 minutes of this game was so insane that the story should have been the Rockets' comeback. The story should have been the clutch three-pointer by Robert Covington, followed by the amazing pass from Russell Westbrook that led to the clutch three-pointer by PJ Tucker. That's what it should have been. That's what we should all be talking about. And instead, Bogdanovich hits a prayer in front of not one defender, but two defenders, hands in his face, 30 feet from the basket, or 28 feet, whatever it was. And it's frustrating because everybody everywhere is going to start talking about how small ball can't win. Small ball did not lose you this game. Like, I'm sorry, it didn't. What lost you this game was, you know, things like Jordan Clarkson going off for 30 points, or Bogdanovich deciding to not hit his only 2 3-pointers in the game. He only hit 2 of them, took 5 shots, 7 overall. The only 2 shots that he hit were in the fourth quarter. He hit a 3 earlier in the fourth, and then he hit the 3 to win the game. It's a tough loss to stomach. It really is, because you were right there up until the very end. You brought yourself back in the game. The PJ Tucker 3 really felt like it was going to be the game winner, and then it wasn't. It's one of those crushing losses. Drops the Rockets to 33-20 on the season. They are now 18-8 at home. The Jazz improved to 34-18 on the season. Now 15-13 on the road. And the most important part of this game is now you have currently split the season series with the Jazz with just 1 game left, and the final game is in Utah. And so now you have to win that game to have the season series tiebreaker over the Jazz, which the way things are starting to settle in the West. Now, there's still, you know, a chunk of the season left to be played post All-Star break, and the Rockets do still have one more game before the All-Star break gets here Tuesday evening against the Celtics. But before you get there, I mean, it's just the way the West is starting to shake out is the Lakers are still comfortably in the one spot. You got the Denver Nuggets and the Clippers tied up for the 2 spot. Then you got the Jazz and the Rockets that are kind of have been ping-ponging back and forth between that 4 or 5 spot. And then you've got everybody else in the 6, 7, or sorry, then you've got the Thunder and the Mavericks in the 6 and 7 spots. And then everybody else duking it out for that 8th spot between the Grizzlies. And then you've got the Blazers, the Spurs, the Pelicans, all within a few games of each other trying to grind it out for that last spot in the Western Conference. So the playoff picture is starting to take hold, And if the Rockets want home court advantage, which at this point it's starting to really look like maybe just the fourth seed is going to be an option, if the other teams continue playing the way that they have been, you've got to get the next win against the Jazz. And look, it didn't help not having Eric Gordon, you know, the guy who went for 50 against the Jazz the last time you played him. But overall, the Rockets had a really good game. I mean, they did so much of everything that you want the team to do. They created 21 wide-open three-point shots. They hit 9 of them. It's pretty solid there. Overall, nobody had really a bad game, so to speak. I mean, the bench scoring is probably the area of biggest concern. I'd probably say the two biggest areas of concern from this game were the perimeter defense and how easily guys like Donovan Mitchell and Jordan Clarkson were able to get to the basket, and Mike Conley, for that matter. They were just able to penetrate and break down the defense like nobody's business. Clarkson had 30 points on 12 of 19 shooting. Donovan Mitchell had 24 points on 9 of 23 shooting. The 9 of 23, though, just it doesn't really feel like it was 9 of 23. It really feels like every time they really needed a basket, every time the Jazz needed a basket, it felt like Donovan Mitchell came up big for them. And then Mike Conley, 20 points on 8 of 16 shooting, 2 of 5 from behind the arc. So their guard trio really torched the Rockets. I mean, they combined for 74 points. It's unreal. They absolutely put in the work. And again, the Rockets' perimeter defense was sketchy at times with how easily those guards were able to drive in. And then again, the bench scoring. So tallying everything up for the Jazz really quick. Let's see, 30, 32, 40, 44, 47 bench points for the Jazz compared to just 13 for the Rockets. And this is a theme that we've seen in games where the Rockets don't have that scoring punch off the bench, in the sense that you're missing Eric Gordon, so then you inject Daniel House into the starting lineup, which, you know, Daniel House isn't necessarily the same scoring punch off the bench that Eric Gordon is, but you would imagine that having Eric Gordon in the starting lineup, he would still give you a similar level of production to Daniel House, and then you get Daniel House's production off the bench. It just kind of extends your rotations a little bit. The starters aren't playing as many minutes. You're able to get some fresh legs out there. And in a lineup that is playing small ball with PJ Tucker at your five spot, it is imperative that everybody has the right level of energy. And I'm going to follow up and finish up on this thought at the start of the next segment. So we'll get to that in just one moment. But first, a quick message from our friends over at Echelon. Look, guys, to get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. You can go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality, at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone. Busy moms and dads, first responders, elite athletes, whatever your activity level is, they make a bike for you. And with daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You will love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, they'll give you your money back. You can join hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon today. So remember, don't pay a ton for a Peloton. You can buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Just go to echelonfit.com/LOMBA to learn about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. Remember, Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com/LOMBA. echelonfit.com/LOMBA. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, discussing the Rockets' heartbreaking 114-113 loss at home to the Utah Jazz, now splitting the season series one game apiece, with one game remaining between these two teams for the remainder of the season to decide the season series. Now, I kind of was inching into a thought there at the end of the first segment, had to hit a break, so here we go. The thought that I was kind of branching into was energy, as far as how these guys are playing and as far as the rotations, the minutes, how you spread those minutes around. Basically, it's understandable that James Harden and Russell Westbrook can't go. Now, Russ has to go. I mean, that's just who Russ is as a player. Russ is going to go 110% for every minute that he's on the court. Now, Russ will take some possessions off defensively, or maybe even on offense. He'll, you know, give somebody else a chance to move the ball around when it's, even when it's the Russ only lineups, whether it's with Austin Rivers or Eric Gordon. We've seen Harden do that occasionally, where even on offense, he'll take a player or two off and let guys, like I said, Rivers, Gordon, they run the offense for a player or two, and then he goes back to running everything. And then defensively, we know that James Harden and Russell Westbrook will occasionally take defensive possessions off or not be 100% tuned in. And that's understandable for the role that they provide on this team. Now, for every other player that is in a lineup on this team, it is imperative that they play all out at every moment that they're on the court. And this might seem like a dumb thing to try and say, oh, well, play with energy, play all out every moment you're on the court. No, it's this Rockets roster. Normally, right, you have to worry about substitutions. You have to worry about substitution patterns. Oh, who's my backup? You know, when Clint would play, right, he has to think, okay, my backup is Isaiah Hartenstein or Tyson Chandler, technically, or PJ Tucker. So you have to think about, okay, if I have to play X number of minutes before I get to my next backup, I have to make sure that I don't gas myself and force the rotations early in lineups, right, where, oh, you know, I'm gassed at the 6 minute mark instead of, you know, being able to make it all the way to the 9 minute mark of the first quarter, whatever have you, right? Whereas with this new small ball Rockets lineup, it's plug and play. It doesn't matter who's in the game because essentially everybody plays every position. You're switching everything. And so everybody that's out there that's not named Russell Westbrook and James Harden needs to check in and play as absolutely hard as they can for every minute that they're on the court, both offensively and defensively. And then when you're gassed, you throw your hand up and Mike D'Antoni will get you a sub. That's how it should work. So not having Eric Gordon means that the starters all played increased minutes. You've got PJ Tucker at 36, Covington at 35, House at 36, Westbrook 38, Harden at 39. There's a lot of minutes going around where all of those minutes should have been trimmed down a little bit, and then Eric Gordon should have had about, you know, 30 minutes or so. Plus, you were basically forced to play Ben McLemore for about 27 minutes this game, and as much as I love Ben McLemore offensively, and he did drop in 9 points on 3 of 5 shooting from behind the arc, he had a few rebounds, had an assist, had a couple steals even, he is not a great perimeter defender. And he was one of those guys, in addition to Westbrook and Harden, that was getting beat so easily off the dribble by Jordan Clarkson, by Mike Conley, by Donovan Mitchell. And part of it, too, at least in the fourth quarter specifically, James picked up his fifth foul early in the fourth quarter, right? So that prevented him from playing at least tighter up on guys like Donovan Mitchell or Mike Conley because he wasn't able to warrant picking up his sixth foul. You know, you just can't risk it. He's too important to this team. So anytime that happens, when you've got a guy playing with 5 fouls in the fourth quarter, you know that offenses are going to take advantage of that. And that's exactly what they did. Harden wasn't able to seal off the driving lanes as well as he normally can when he's, you know, zoned in and focused on defense. Now I'll get to that. I'm going to get to the full play-by-play of the final 3 minutes because, again, that just was insane. But really quickly, just run through a couple of stat lines for the guys. So Russell Westbrook, I think, is easily the player of the game for the Rockets. I mean, he had 39 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, a block, only 3 turnovers, missed his first 3 shots of the game. Missed his first 3 shots, couple middies, and then a layup, I want to say. And then he drilled his 4th shot of the game, which, if memory serves, was a 3-pointer. So that means he missed his first 3 shots, which means he went 18 of 30 the rest of the way. Just, again, phenomenal efficiency from Russell Westbrook. James Harden, 28 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, so another triple-double in the books for him. Also had a steal, a couple blocks. Poor 3-point shooting from James Harden. So if there is one more area to gripe about as far as you've got the perimeter defensive issues, you've got the lack of bench scoring, the poor 3-point shooting from James Harden was another kind of killer. And we've griped about it before. It's hard to want to tell James, look, you've got to stop shooting threes because that's what he does. You know, we can't be upset when he goes 2 for 13 one game and then goes 8 of 16 the next game. You know, he's a volume 3-point shooter. He needs to shoot them to be able to get into his rhythm. Would I like for him to take some, you know, take a page out of Russell Westbrook's book? Westbrook's book. That's okay. Anyways, would I like for him to do that? Would I like for him to take some more mid-range jumpers? Absolutely. We've seen it be effective with Russell Westbrook. We've seen the shot profile from Westbrook where he is getting to the rim at will, and he's still taking a few mid-range jumpers to kind of get into a rhythm and get a feel for his game. James could easily do that. And James is such a rhythm guy, just like Westbrook, that I think that James might even benefit from it more than Russell Westbrook if he were to just take a few mid-range shots early in the game, kind of warm himself up a little bit, rather than just diving straight into the step-back three barrage that he fires every single game. Minimize that, take off the three-pointers by about three or four attempts, add in a few more mid-range shots. Maybe he heats up a little bit sooner, and then he's going 4 for 10 instead of 2 for 13. And then he's also got a few more buckets from mid-range. He did take that one mid-range shot in this game. It felt like he, you know, after the entire game of struggling from shooting from behind the arc, he brought it in a little bit, hit a shot from the top of the key, but that was the only one he took. So I'd like to see him take a few more of those. I don't think he will. I think he's just completely ingrained in the threes, layups, and dunks mentality, and free throws, obviously, which he was 4 of 6 at the charity stripe. Covington, solid game, 14 points, 4 of 10 shooting, 5 boards, had a steal, had a block, played some great defense, had some deflections. Robert Covington, one of the league leaders in deflections. I tweeted that stat out. He went into the game number 10 in steals per game and number 8 in deflections per game. I haven't refreshed those numbers since after the Jazz game, but those were his numbers headed into the game. So he's obviously a guy who gets his hands in passing lanes and makes a difference in that regard. PJ Tucker, 9 points, hit all 3 of his 3-point shots and hit what should have been the game winner. Daniel House, 10 points, 2 of 5 shooting, 3 of 10 overall, 2 of 5 from behind the arc. So not a great overall shooting night from Daniel House, but at least, you know, he added his 10 points and he snagged 5 rebounds. He had 4 steals, so Daniel House was being extremely active. And then the bench scoring, just kind of disappointing all around. Tyson Chandler played all of the final 1.6 seconds, so the Rockets were officially minus 3 in the minutes that a center played in this one, so that should tell you all you need to know about the Rockets and their joy of not playing centers now. Tabo Sefolosha, 2 points, 3 boards, just played 10 minutes at the backup center spot, essentially. Rivers with just 2 points, missed both of his threes, and then Ben McLemore, 9 points, told you earlier, and 3 of 5 shooting from downtown. So just kind of running through the team as a whole, and then the Rockets did what they were supposed to do. They forced, 15 Jazz turnovers, and they scored 21 points off of the 15 Jazz turnovers. Oh, I apologize. 16 Jazz turnovers. There's a team turnover in there somewhere for 21 Rockets points. And then they took care of the ball. They only had 6 turnovers on the game. James Harden, 10 assists, 1 turnover. Russell Westbrook, as much as he was handling the ball, 39 points scored, only had 3 turnovers. That's a phenomenal night from those two. And then 6 overall as a team. Like, what else do you want? They did everything perfectly for the most part. Like, 90% of this evening went really well, and then you lose on a last-second heave. So to kind of roll through, we're just going to roll through this play-by-play. At 3 minutes, the Rockets take a full timeout as the Jazz jump out to a 107-100 lead, right? Then you get the Russell Westbrook driving layup with an assist from PJ Tucker. Then Conley misses a shot. Jazz get the offensive rebound. Donovan Mitchell misses a shot. Westbrook gets the board, takes off in transition. Daniel House, from an assist by Westbrook, hits a 3. So the Rockets are now down 107-105. Donovan Mitchell comes back down, hits a 2-point fadeaway shot from Mike Conley assist, 109-105. Joe Ingles takes a foul. Robert Covington misses a 3-pointer. Rudy Gobert gets the board. Bogdanovich misses a 3-pointer. James Harden gets the board. Mike Conley comes down, fouls James Harden. James Harden hits both of his free throws, scores now 109-107. Donovan Mitchell misses a 3. James Harden with the rebound. Brings the ball back down the court. Passes it to Robert Covington. Robert Covington drills a 3-pointer, giving the Rockets a 1-point lead, 110-109. Jazz take a full timeout with 28 seconds left in the game. Jordan Clarkson comes in for Bogdanovich. PJ Tucker takes a shooting foul on Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell ices both free throws, giving the Jazz a 1-point lead, 111-110. Then the play, the thing that should have been the play of the game. PJ Tucker drills a 3-pointer off of an incredible pass by Russell Westbrook, giving the Rockets a 2-point lead, 113-111, just 1.6 seconds left. Jazz take a full timeout. Tyson Chandler subs into the game for Daniel House Jr. Bogdanovich comes into the game for Royce O'Neal. And it's all she wrote. Bogdanovich ices the three over PJ Tucker and James Harden to end the game. So that would be the shot of the game, unfortunately. And it's tough, too. P.J. Tucker, as soon as he saw the three go in, he spun around on the court and just sat down for a minute. And that's one of the saddest photos I've ever seen of a Rockets player. It's right up there. I mean, he even spoke about it post-game. P.J. Tucker said post-game that they didn't lose that game off of that three-point shot. They lost it earlier in the quarter or earlier in the game, even with all of the easy penetration that they were giving up, with all the easy points that the Jazz were scoring. Because, again, you don't want to be in that position where you're relying on getting a stop on a last-second possession. Ideally, you'd want to put the game away sooner than that. And this is a Jazz team that had been struggling, and they come in and kind of reignite their fire a little bit against the Houston Rockets, who are now in the official small ball era. They've got two losses under their belt now against the Phoenix Suns and now the Utah Jazz, which I'll talk a little bit about the Suns game in the final segment. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it because the Jazz game is just a lot more relevant. The Suns game is almost basically just a schedule loss, but we'll get more on that in just a second, so don't go anywhere. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Final segment where we will wrap up our thoughts about the loss against the Utah Jazz, as well as I'll just dip into the loss against the Phoenix Suns really quickly. Honestly, you know, look, that was just, to me, that was a schedule loss. The Rockets came out, it's the second night of a back-to-back. You just got up for a really big game against the Lakers the night before, probably really wound up on energy. Robert Covington's first game as a Houston Rocket. And then you have to go out to the desert, you know, without Russell Westbrook, just the energy didn't feel right. Eric Gordon leaves the game early because of his lower leg contusion. Just not a lot great going on there. And then the team kind of struck. It just, I'm chalking it up to a schedule loss, and I'm not super upset about that loss. If anything, I'd be more upset about the games earlier this season that the Rockets have blown that they shouldn't have lost, right? Because the losses are mounting up now. They're 33-20. And really, the way things are shaking out, said it in the first segment, they're probably going to wind up fighting for the 4 or 5 spot between the Jazz and themselves. And so at this point, they really need to win the next meetup against the Jazz to secure that head-to-head tiebreaker. But if you want to be upset about some losses, don't be upset about the schedule ones, the second night of a back-to-back where you don't have Russell Westbrook and where Eric Gordon leaves the game early. Don't be upset about those. Be upset about the games from earlier this season where they were completely healthy, where they choked away strong, where they choked away double-digit leads, where they, you know, were in full control of the game and then just down the wire, they just couldn't put it away. Those are the games you need to be upset about. So Suns game, schedule loss, I'm past it. Now for this Jazz game, one thing that I did kind of note during the game, and I think this holds true based on Mike D'Antoni's substitution patterns, is I think that we can comfortably assume that two of P.J. Tucker, Robert Covington, and Austin Rivers are going to be in the games at all times for this Rockets club. Essentially, to me, what I'm noticing with the rotation patterns is it's going to be something like a defensive version of what we currently see with James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Eric Gordon, where two of the three are in the game at all times. And then past that, it's also basically like a version of what we used to have on the 17-18 squad with PJ Tucker, Luke Bamute, and Trevor Ariza. Is that squad, you basically had two of those three guys on the court at all times, at least starting the second half of that season. Because the first half of that season, you did still have Ryan Anderson starting at the power forward spot alongside Trevor Ariza, and then as Ryan Anderson had his ankle injury and PJ Tucker took over the starting spot, you essentially phased Ryan Anderson out of the rotation completely, and then your forward rotation between the small forward spot and the power forward spot was just a rotation between three guys. It was Ariza, Bob Mutse, and PJ Tucker. And so now the Rockets, you know, Austin Rivers doesn't slot into the forward rotation necessarily, but what he does provide is he provides you one of the best on-ball defenders on your team, arguably the best on-ball defender on your entire team. PJ Tucker and Robert Covington might be better all-around defenders because of their size, because of their other skills that they possess, but Austin Rivers, I think, is your best on-ball defender. So with that being said, having two of those three guys on the court at all times gives you a better defense. It puts you in better position to force turnovers, to disrupt the other team, and we saw that. The Rockets forced 16 turnovers from the Jazz, and they've been forcing a large amount of turnovers and scoring points off those turnovers against other teams. And so I think that that's kind of just, I can expect that moving forward. I think that even upon Eric Gordon's return, I would expect Robert Covington to stay in the starting lineup. I don't expect him to come off the bench. I think the Rockets' starting lineup is going to be James Harden, Westbrook, Gordon, Covington, and Tucker. I think that'll be the de facto starting lineup, and that'll also probably be your closing lineup, more than likely. I don't think they're going to go back to Eric Gordon on the bench because they worry about the bench scoring. I think they're just going to be good about rotating their starting lineup, moving the minutes around, whatever you need to do to stagger Harden, Westbrook, and Gordon, as well as stagger the three guys I just mentioned for defensive purposes. Now, kind of wrapping this one up, more or less, again, I'm not super upset about this game. The Rockets found a way to be competitive even on a night where James Harden was wholly inefficient. Again, 2 of 13 from behind the arc, 11 of 23 overall. So his inside the arc numbers were actually pretty strong. He was getting to the rim. He was doing what he needed to do. He was facilitating for teammates. So James Harden had a great night besides his shooting numbers. And then you look at what they were able to do as far as points in the paint. They scored 54 points in the paint. Now, the Jazz caught up to them because the Jazz finished with 48 points in the paint. But at one point, the Rockets were like plus 24 points in the paint. I want to say midway through the third quarter. And then, like PJ Tucker said in the postgame interview, they lost the game based on the number of easy looks and shots that they gave up, you know, throughout the game, throughout the second half of that third quarter, the beginning part of the fourth quarter. They gave up a lot of easy looks that let the Jazz kind of pummel their way back into this game, because the Rockets really felt like they were in control of it for much of the game. Until the Jazz went on that late run to take the lead, the Rockets felt like they were, you know, kind of not cruise control to victory, but it felt like they were definitely in command of the game. I'd also like to highlight Russell Westbrook and how, again, I just can't say enough about how he's transformed his game. And I was really worried that we were going to have a game where Russ was going to go back to chucking up a bunch of mid-range shots, but he figured it out. Mike D'Antoni made the adjustment early on by injecting Ben McLemore into the first quarter and kind of noticing how the Jazz were going to guard Russell Westbrook. Rudy Gobert was Russell Westbrook's primary defender for the entire game. That is such a trip that defenses are opting to put their opposing center on Russell Westbrook because of his inability or unwillingness now to shoot the three-point shot. And I think that's huge. I think that if Russell Westbrook can still drop in 39 points with a big like Rudy Gobert checking him for the entire game, that's because Russ has to not only beat Rudy Gobert, Rudy Gobert's sagging off Russ by about 10 to 12 feet. So Russ has to go at one of the best defenders in the league, two-time DPOY, Rudy Gobert, to be able to score the basket. And I think even in a loss, I do take some joy in the fact that at one point Russell Westbrook bodied the hell out of Gobert and then, you know, rocked the baby on him saying he's too small. That was pretty enjoyable. Also the dunk that he had, which wasn't quite a facial on Gobert. It was almost there. Gobert kind of got out of the way at the last second, but Russell Westbrook dunks definitely hit different. But I think that overall, these two losses from Rockets small ball, the official era of Rockets small ball now with Robert Covington in and Clint Capela out, I'm not discouraged by them. I think that there is a very slim margin for error in this new dynamic with the Rockets because it feels like you can't necessarily maintain a significant lead for a long time because, again, of the easy baskets that you will give up in this lineup. You will give up some easy baskets, some easy looks playing a lineup of nobody taller than 6'7". That's going to happen. But I like the versatility of the lineup, and I think that when the Rockets are playing, it doesn't necessarily have to be they have to play their best version of basketball to be able to win games, because they certainly didn't do that in this one. James Harden, again, did not shoot well from behind the arc. The bench players did not really produce a lot of, or didn't provide a lot of production. You're missing Eric Gordon, so you're definitely not playing your best version of basketball, and you still played a competitive game against the Jazz. So I take some solace in that. I think that we haven't seen the best that this version of this Rockets team can be. And they've got one more game before the All-Star break. So they got to get that one game out of the way. Ideally, you pick up the W against the Celtics, and then you get to go into All-Star break riding a win, not riding a two-game or three-game losing streak at that point. That would be ideal for momentum moving into the second half of the season. But get this group of guys some time to rest up, some practices under their belt, and then they'll come back out post All-Star break, and I'm excited to see what they can put on the court. And in a seven-game series, I like this team's chances. I really do. Because I think in a seven-game series where there are no back-to-backs, where you're not going to be missing Russell Westbrook, where ideally you're not going to lose Eric Gordon just to, you know, a minor leg injury or issue, because when it's the playoffs, everybody's playing through injuries, everybody's got something that's aching them, and you just play through it. That's how the playoffs work. It's a regular season game, so Eric Gordon didn't play, right? In the second half of back-to-back against the Suns, Westbrook's not going to play. There's a few more back-to-backs this season. Westbrook's not going to play those either. But you know what? There are no back-to-backs in the playoffs. The Rockets will ideally have their entire roster at their disposal come playoff time, and I genuinely like their chances against any team in the Western Conference with this current group. So I think that's where I'm going to wrap things up for today. As always, thank you all so much for listening, and we hope to have you back again right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.